Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is The Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area.
Is it my eyes or the perfection of this evening? The strobe lights. So tonight.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Leo Effects. Now, that song you just heard, the little clip there, is a brilliant song called Tonight by my guest who's on tonight. You're going to love her. We've been introduced through email, and that was about the extent of it. So I wasn't sure how to make of this person. But I think we're going to have some fun, and we're going to get to know her a little better. Please welcome M. Rose, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. And I hope that everything is going well for you. You're staying healthy, keeping everything going, and not getting too bored.
No, I mean, today I just played video games all day, so my productivity was very below average, but, whatever keeps me sane.
Exactly. Well, we'll kind of just jump right into this and start asking some questions and roll with the punches as we go. But, what would you consider yourself? Like a singer, producer, musical artist? Like, how would you classify yourself?
I am no producer, so definitely not that. I am a songwriter, so singer-songwriter, but I'm not like at a piano bar with my guitar, strumming at like the West, I don't know, somewhere, Greenwich Village. That's not really my vibe. But because I do write all my songs, so technically a songwriter, and I do sing my songs, so technically a singer. But musical artist, maybe.
All right. We can buy that for a dollar. What made you decide to become a musical artist? What drew you into music?
Honestly, like, I'm not even kidding, but I just kind of did it. One of my first memories of music is just sitting at a piano and playing it. My mom was like, Emma, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm just playing piano. And she was like, you don't know how to play piano. And I just kind of like went with it. I guess you could say I was self-inspired, but I don't even know if it was just kind of brainless, kind of mindless. I kind of just went with it. I don't know. Maybe that's a really stupid answer, but that's what happened.
There's no such thing as a stupid answer. But I like where the direction of that was, that you're your own inspiration, so to speak. But do you have any other musical artists that you kind of look up to and you're like, oh man, I'd like to be like them?
I mean, 100%. My favorite musical artist changes like every week. So, depending on, the day, it's always a new inspiration. I'm really inspired by, like Florence and the Machine right now. I mean, she hasn't come out with anything super new. I think her last album was like in 2019. But I love her voice and I love her sound. And also Lana Del Rey's album that just came out a little few months ago is so good. So yeah, a lot of those artists. But you know, if you asked me a few years ago, I would not be able to shut up about Radiohead. That was just all I listened to for months and months and years. And it was just, I was a super fan. It was crazy. But yeah, I definitely think that all those artists contributed to, you know, not only the style that I write, but also in like, you know, my sound in a way. But I don't try to copy them at all. It's just kind of, you know, inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking on that, how would you describe your sound?
Honestly, I keep saying honestly. Wow, I need to stop saying that. I guess alternative pop, you know, like kind of a, not indie, but it's not like, not bubblegum pop. I'm not writing about like, this is the best day ever. You know, it's more of like, you know, more, I guess, and I'm not like a famous artist or anything, so I guess I still fit in the alternative category. But yeah, it's alternative pop.
Okay, well, you're definitely getting there. You're going to be famous before you know it.
Oh, God. Great. I mean, it's scary.
Well, that's everybody's goal, right?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I definitely wouldn't be completely against it. I don't want to be, like, Ariana Grande level of famous, because I think that would just, you know, I want to be able to go to the grocery store and buy thousands of bags of Cheetos when I want. But I also, you know, it would be cool to have some, like, you know, recognition for my music. That would be really cool. But, you know, I don't want to be like a superstar. It would just be terrifying.
You think so? You think it'd be too much?
I don't know. I don't know. I just, you know, I don't want to shave my head one day and like go on a wrecking ball and be naked on that wrecking ball. You know, I don't want to fall into that whole like, you know, and also imagine like people following you around, and just if you break up with somebody, it's like front page news, and it's just like, I don't want my personal life everywhere, you know, that kind of thing. I guess, I mean, I like the parts of fame that are like, ooh, you could buy this fancy house wherever you want. But the other parts of it that are like, wow, I'll never be able to like, you know, go anywhere and be like a normal human being. It's just kind of intimidating.
Yeah, I could see that. That probably would be a little out there. Well, kind of talking about what you were talking about earlier about, you know, people not releasing things anytime recently. You actually just released an EP not too long ago. Was it back in March?
Yes.
So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was working on this EP forever. I mean, not forever, but you know, for like a few years, like as long as I've been working with my producer. And it's just been really, really exciting to have this finally, it would be done. And I remember a few months, probably like in January, he was like, oh my God, this is done. And I was like, whoa, this is done. I mean, we kept like tweaking it a little bit. He remastered a lot of the songs, so that was really cool. But it was just crazy to know that, oh my God, this is done. And then there's a global pandemic. And I couldn't have any of the live performances that I was going to do in March. And it was really, it was such a bummer because I was really looking forward to this. But hey, I'm doing Instagram Live, so that's been pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were, you're still pretty active in talking with your fans and things like that, right?
Yeah. I've actually never been more active. I'm a junior in high school. The workload this past year has been insane, and my focus on music has really been like not my 100% like complete focus, which is not what I want at all, because you know I have to go to college somehow, which is really annoying. So it was just really hard to juggle school and music. So now when I am in online school and I don't really have to spend much time doing like physics, I can actually talk to my fans and do live streams every week, and that's been really, really exciting.
Cool. And are you still like recording music via remote or?
Oh yes, I am.
Nice.
It's a nightmare. I hate it.
No.
As I said a little while ago, I am not a producer. And, I don't, I'll plug in the mic wrong, and then it just records my headphone audio instead of the mic audio. And then I have to, like, figure it out the next day. And then I'm like, oh, damn it, now I need to record the whole entire take again. And it's just a mess.
Oh.
Ugh, I hate it. I'm just so bad. No, but I mean, I'll live. I'm getting better. But it's not ideal. I much prefer driving to Brooklyn and going to the studio.
That's fair. I could see where that would be, you know, something that would be much easier to do in the studio. But, you know, learning how to do that stuff just makes you more rounded, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think quarantine is actually making me a better musician, too. It's like everything that's been, I haven't been doing for the past year. Now I can finally do because I have all the time in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'm trying to look at the... Sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I'm trying to look at the bright sides of all of this craziness around because, I don't know, I just feel like sitting idle isn't as fun as, you know, trying something new.
Right. I mean, you can only play so many video games, right?
Oh, I play several. Animal Crossing has been my life.
That's everybody's life right now.
Oh, man. I got a 5-star island, and I am killing it. Not gonna lie.
So earlier you had mentioned that, you know, you're not playing at piano bars or anything like that. Did you do any kind of gigs before you started making EPs?
Yes. I mean, I guess you could call them piano bars. I mean, I played a few. My first gig was Rockwood. Oh, my God. It was The Bitter End. That's actually where Lady Gaga got her start. So I think that's actually really cool.
Nice.
It's like this really, I wouldn't call it grungy, but it kind of is. It's very like, I don't know how to describe it. It's very New York City. But I really like that place. And then I moved on a little bit up, I guess, to Rockwood Music Hall, and that's been super exciting. That's probably the place where I've been playing the most, and I finally had a gig at their biggest stage, and of course, that got postponed. And then I had another one at the Knitting Factory, which I was also really excited about, and that also got postponed.
Uh-huh.
So all of the gigs that I was, like, really excited for, I had all these crazy outfits planned, of course... But yeah, before that, of course, we've been playing at Rockwood and the Bitter End and a few other bars here and there.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least you were out there, and it sounds like you were moving around to a whole bunch of places getting your name out there.
Yeah. I love playing live.
That's awesome, though. Like, I couldn't imagine getting up on stage. Was that nerve-wracking, getting up in front of all those people?
Never.
Well, you're a natural then.
No, I was a big theater kid. Oh, God, I hate to admit it. But as a kid, I always just wanted to, like, sing in front of a crowd of people. I can totally see why people have stage fright. I just never really did. It's weird. I mean, I hear so many people being like, oh, that's so terrifying. How do you do it? I just, like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I get nervous. Everybody gets nervous. But I'm never like, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
Okay.
Never been like that. So yeah, I think I definitely owe it a lot to musicals. Oh God.
Well, what is it that you tell your, like, what messages do you give your fans when you're doing your live streams?
Recently, definitely not giving up hope. That's definitely my main message. One of my songs, the last one on my EP, Don't Go, is all about that. It's all about, you know, not giving up on your life, not giving up that nobody cares about you. And I definitely think that's an important message right now during this global pandemic, that, you know, there's still a world out there. People still need you. You know, this is a time to, you know, it's a scary time, but it's still a time that we all have to live in. So that's kind of what I've been spreading.
That's a deep message.
Yeah.
Are all of your songs like that? Or, like, what's your creative process for creating a song?
They're all very personal to me. Very, very personal. Usually something happens with an old friend who and I have problems with. Or something happens with an ex, you might say.
And I just have to, like, get all my emotions out and write about it. And I really hope they don't listen to my songs. Because then they know. They'd be like, oh, God. But I don't know. I try to write kind of cryptic in a way so people can, you know, relate to it without, like, me being super broad, but also not super specific in a way. I think that's really important when you're writing lyrics. But,
yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, my writing process, because sometimes it'll take me, like, 15 minutes to write a song. Another time it'll take me like 2 months.
Wow. Is there anybody that you'd like to do a collaboration with at some point?
Collabs terrify me.
Oh, really?
It's so weird. I am not afraid of performing, yet I am so afraid of collaboration of any kind.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just can't do it. I can sometimes. I was in LA a few months ago, and I did a collab with a fellow songwriter for Secret Road, the company that I'm working with, and that was really cool, and I kind of got over my fear a little bit, but still, I just kind of just choke up when I have to write with another person.
Okay. All right. I guess I could see that a little bit, but I think you're going to do a lot of those in the future, and you're going to be awesome. I really do.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So where do you think you would be right now if the whole music thing hadn't have gone the way it did? Like, what if you jumped on that piano and started playing and you really couldn't play and that was just the end of it?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, but like, where do you think you would be right now if being a musician hadn't have worked out?
Oh, God. Oh, man. I honestly think that music and writing is such a big part of me that that would be crazy. I'd probably, it's not just a hobby. It's like what I want to do for my entire life. So mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, it's like removing half of my soul. I'm a terrible artist, cannot draw for the life of me, so definitely not that. Maybe acting, but, you know, that's fun, but it's not, like, as special to me as music is. I'm a big reader, so maybe I'd just be spending my time reading thousands of books. So, yeah, definitely anything creative, because I need to do something creative. But, yeah, if I couldn't play the piano, if I couldn't sing, then I would just be crazy. Fuck.
That's true. That's true. Do you have a particular book or a book series that you like to read?
This is such a weird answer, but I really like Jane Austen and everything she does.
Okay.
The 1800s are really my vibe.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't think your music would fit back then, but that's fair.
No, definitely not. No.
Oh, geez. Well, do you have anything that's, like, coming up soon that people should be keeping an eye out for?
Yes, definitely. I mean, again, I always do my weekly live streams, and I'm also releasing a few new songs, and they're really good, and I'm really excited about them. One of them is fully produced via, again, me on a computer struggling to record vocals, and my producer all the way back in Brooklyn kind of, you know, sending me things here and there. It's kind of, again, weird to work, you know, without me in the studio, but the song that I'm releasing next month, The Grass is Greener, is really cool. I'm also working on a music video. Yeah. On Sunday. Last Sunday, me and my mom just ran around downtown New York and just recorded things for the video. It's partially a school project, I'm not going to lie, but I actually think it'll turn out really cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I bet it was pretty empty running around down there right now.
Honestly, it's kind of not. That's what's really scary.
It used
to be empty, and now it's just like some people aren't even wearing masks. And it's just really like, eesh. Yeah.
Sounds like they just kind of gave up. They said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
I mean, I partially don't blame them because I'm giving up too. But I definitely think that it's very important to, you know, social distance and everything.
Right. So kind of talking more about the musical side of this, is there, or rather the music industry in general, is there something that you would change about it?
I'm not really super involved in the industry side. I'm more just involved in like the writing process. It's really like my mom who does all that kind of stuff, because it just kind of creeps me out in a way. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to change the way that record companies work. I know this is such a, again, strange answer, but I think it's kind of not cool how they can take the rights away from artists and they can like, you know, get all the publishing rights of their songs. I think that it's important for the person who writes the song to own the rights of the song and not vice versa. So I definitely would change that aspect.
Well, there you go. Perfect answer. So what is it, you know, I feel like I might already know the answer to this, because anybody that's listening to this interview has probably gotten the sense of what the answer is, but what is it that you enjoy most about being a musical artist?
Oh my God. Wow. I don't think it's the answer you're expecting, but probably the writing process.
That's exactly what I thought.
Oh, yeah. The feeling after you finish a song, I just get such a sense of euphoria, and it's like the best feeling in the world. I also get it after I perform. That's always like a really great feeling too. But yeah, it's so, so amazing after I finish a song, especially if I spend so much time working on it and it's still like never done, just irking me for months and months. And then I finally finish it. It's like, yes, I'm done. That's how I felt with The Grass is Greener. That song took me forever to write. Forever. Oh, I would just sit at a piano for hours and have nothing. It's terrible.
Wow. So when you're sitting at the piano, do you like kind of just play it out and create like the sound and then put the lyrics to it? Or do you do the lyrics first and then put the piano to the lyrics?
It's always changing. Okay. Sometimes I'll have a really cool set of lyrics and then I'll try to set it to music. Other times I'll just have these really cool chords in mind and then I'll try to write melodies and lyrics with it. That's how it worked for The Grass is Greener. That's also how it worked for one of my songs, my EP. I got it. 5 months. Sorry. My brain died for a second. Yeah, I had these really weird, cool chords in mind and I kind of just went with it. And that was really cool. But other times, again, I'll have lyrics. I think that's how it went. No. Tonight was chords again. I don't know. Maybe I don't really do that with lyrics first. Weird. Maybe I used to and I don't anymore. Right. That's probably what it is.
The things you think about. Well, that's great. That's so awesome. Do you have any kind of advice for somebody that's just starting out as a musician?
I think the advice that I normally give is just go for it. Because I feel like we have a lot of self-doubt. And, you know, sometimes in my past, I would be like, oh, I'm not good enough at singing. Oh, I'm not pretty enough to do anything. Oh, I need to, I don't know, change this. So I need to do this differently. And I think that really holds us back a lot. And if we don't realize what we can do, then we never do it. And I mean, I don't think we should have a big ego about it. I'm not encouraging that. But I definitely think that, you know, just going for it is really the best thing you can do. You know, not thinking about all the bad things that could happen. Just focus on, you know, what you could do.
Right on. I like it. That's awesome. So with this last little part of the show here, I'd like to allow the guests to tell people, if they want to, you don't have to, about any social medias that they can go follow everything that you're doing, like maybe where they can go to see the live streams.
Oh, the live streams are on Facebook and Instagram. I normally do Facebook just so my grandma can watch, but they are on Facebook. But yes, you can just follow me at Emrose Music. It's basically Emrose, 2 M's on everything. And you can follow me on Spotify, on iTunes, anything.
All right. Cool beans. Well, Emma, I just want to say thank you so very much for coming on the show today and talking to me and letting me know about all this stuff you got coming up. I can't
wait for more of your stuff to come out. The Grass is Greener sounds awesome. I can't wait to hear that one. And, you know, maybe I'll check out one of those live streams sometimes. You sound like you really, you're down to earth. You got your whole life ahead of you, and you're on the right path. You're doing great things.
Thank you so much.
No problem. And thank you to all the listeners who tuned in to check this out. Make sure to click on the links that I'll put in the podcast description so that you can get quickly over to those social medias. You're going to love everything that's going on right now. I promise. This is awesome stuff. So thank you all very much, and we'll see you next time. Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.